deal with the temporary rule. Kim, would you please describe it for us?
Certainly. So I apologize for the short turnaround time on this one. We did only really notice during the board meeting that we were out of compliance with our own rules and did not talk about this during the permanent rulemaking around this summer. But we wanted to make sure that we have the rules adjusted so that it's clear what the exempt employer means and what a presumed exemption would mean for employers that are being exempted through the through filing a 5500 and having a census find that 5500 in the database. So I sent out a new, changed, edited set of rules this morning, and they are attached to your calendar invite. But I'll just walk you through exactly what has happened in the rules, so it is pretty clear. So what we've done is changed the definition of exempt employer to exempt employer means an employer who offers a qualified plan to some or all of its employees, and then we have an either or statement, which is the part A is what we used to say, has filed a valid and current certificate of exemption, and then part B now is has received a notice of presumed exemption per one of the following rules. So what this means in practice is that a census worked with Boston College to access the database for 5,500 filers, and anyone that they were able to identify and match up, they basically presumed that they're exempt and sent them a letter saying, we found your 5,500, we're going to presume you're exempt from this program. And Corey and I had a discussion about this earlier today about what that means. But it basically just means that those employers that receive that letter, if they don't, if this was a mistake or they no longer offer a qualified plan to any or some of their employees, they are still required to come in and facilitate the program. So that becomes clear a little bit later in the rules, as you'll see. So any questions thus far?
Kim, this is Edward. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, my question is, in the definition of an employer who offers a qualified plan to some or all, are we referring to all eligible, or is there something here that I'm missing?
Some or all of it sounds employees.
Some or all. I mean, so that means some people could be excluded. How do we sort of justify that if they're eligible to participate?
Corey, do you want to talk about that? This was maybe before Edward's time on the board.
Yeah, sure. What we concluded from the way that our statute is actually worded is that an employer is entitled to an exemption if they offer a qualified plan at all, even if that qualified plan is only offered to some of their employees. So, unfortunately, we do have a fairly significant category of workers, of employees, who work for an employer who offers a plan but not to them. But those employers, the way our statute is put together, those employers are still exempt. So those employees would have to be in the self-enroll or opt-in category. So we spent actually quite a long time wrestling with this one during the startup phase and concluded that although that might not be the way we would want to go, that's the way we kind of have to go.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
And this is Kara. I think that probably stems from the fact that there are concerns about interfering with ERISA and ERISA's preemption if you're dealing with employers who are subject to ERISA and have ERISA plans, and then you're asking them to also participate in Oregon Saves. I think there's a lot of the reason for that rule was because there's concern that that there would be problems under ERISA if you're involving employers who also have who already have an ERISA-governed plan.
I see. Thank you, Kara. Thank you.
Great. Okay. So if we move to the next rule, which is 0015, G, basically, we've got two items. The first is in 1A, and we're just saying that except as provided in subsection E of that rule, each employer shall register with a program or file an exemption. Then when you go to subsection E, it just says the employer who received notice of presumed exemption is not required to take any further action. So it's pretty clear. We're just saying, you know, you it's not that you don't have a registration date anymore. It's that you don't have to do anything if you receive a notice of presumed exemption and you're continuing to offer a qualified plan. When we get to the next rule changes in 0020, that's when we make it clear that if you no longer offer that qualified plan, maybe the 5500 was filed, and in the interim between you filing that 5500 and getting that presumed exemption from the program administrator, if you no longer offer the plan, then that exemption is not real. Like, you do still have to, you're required to come back and facilitate. So what the changes we made in 0020 are to adjust for what has happened so far. So we have gone and compared the Form 5500 filings with our database of employers and exempt employers. We don't know how often we will do that in the future. We didn't want to put a timeline on it and make it a requirement. We're just saying at this point that we may from time to time do this again. If we decide that there's a better way to do this, then we won't do it. And then if the employer is identified as having the plan or an exempt employer continues to have a plan based on this comparison with the 5500 forms, then the program administrator may send out notices again telling them that the presumed exemption continues. But we didn't want to put a timeline on this. We're getting definitely some, I would say from the industry groups, the pushback we get on exemptions is this number two in this employer exemption rule about the certificate being valid for 3 years. When we did that originally, we said 3 years gives us enough time to figure out how we're going to deal with exemptions in the future. We have until next December to decide how we'll be dealing with this, but we didn't want to put a timeline attached to these presumed exemptions because we just don't know how we're going to use them. It's possible in the permanent rulemaking round that I will do simultaneously with this temporary rule that when we talk to industry groups and we get that feedback, we may be able to find a better way to do this. We just didn't want to put ourselves in a position where we had to do something specific. So that's basically it, does anyone have any questions or comments on how this has been written up?
Hearing none, thank you for the explanation. Can you also give us a sense, Jim, of on the assumption that we approve these temporary rules, what happens after that? You have to go through another process, right?
Sure. So what I will do once these are approved is I file them with the Secretary of State's office the same way that I file permanent rules. They just come into effect immediately, and then they're only allowed to be in effect for a maximum of 180 days. So the idea there is that we would start a permanent rulemaking process simultaneously. So I'll go figure out who the stakeholders should be that we want to talk to make sure that we get the right input. Then we would do the same sort of process we did this summer where we'll probably, if we have a RAC this time, it may just meet once. It may be on the phone. We'll have to kind of decide how that will work. But then we'll have a comment period. We'll file them with the Secretary of State's office. We'll have a comment period. We'll have a hearing. And then we'll come back to the board to approve the final rule that will become part of the permanent rule. So I would expect that timeline to be sometime into the spring.
Okay.
This is Tori. I've got a question.
Please.
With this temporary emergency rule, do we file some sort of statement of why it's an emergency?
Yes, there's a justification, but it's pretty much the same format as filing a permanent rule. So the only thing that we don't do with a temporary rule is file a fiscal impact statement. Otherwise, the justification is basically the same as creating a normal rule. I would say the only difference that we will see is that at the end of the year, the Secretary of State's office, I think this has been in place maybe 2 years now, requires us to report back how many temporary rules were filed during the year, and they're keeping track of that information. But in terms of there's no one who's sitting on the other side of this saying, well, that's not a good enough justification for a temporary rule. I think if you started filing a bunch of temporary rules all the time and never gathering employer or stakeholder input, then that might raise some eyebrows.
Got it. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we understand the process and the content here. I think we may be ready for a motion. This is when we're in person, when I look at somebody and with some expectations. Is there anyone who would like to move approval of this proposed temporary rule?
I'll move approval. This is Corey.
Thank you, Corey. Ms. Dreisinger moves approval of the proposed temporary rule. Is there a second?
I second.
This is Edward. Mr. Brewington seconds. Thank you. Is there any discussion of the motion? I think we've had that so far, but this is your last opportunity. Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is approved, as are the temporary rules.
Comment. I think you may need, since it's a phone meeting, you may need a roll call.
Okay. That'd be fine. Ms. G, could you please call the roll?
Okay. Treasurer Reed?
Aye.
Corey Streisinger?
Aye.
Kara Backus?
Aye.
And Edward Brewington?
Aye.
Okay, the motion, having received the required majority, is passed, and the temporary rules are approved. So, Kim, we will see you back with further discussion of yet another rulemaking process. Thank you for taking it on. Anything else that we need to cover today, Missy or Michael?
This is Michael Treasure Reed. No, not from me. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, not bad. About 14 minutes. Thank you for the quick responsiveness to the meeting. We will see you on our regularly scheduled programming, unless there's anything else that needs to come before us today. Someone's getting off the phone. That's perfect. We're adjourned.
Okay, thanks, thank
everybody.
You.
Bye.
Thank you.